come up and sing. Probably a good thing for us, you know. You want to be in a good mood when the preaching starts, that type thing. Going to be, go ahead and turn to Psalm 59. I'm going to be mostly over there, but I got a little, I'm going to read that verse in 1 Samuel 19, 10, 11, just kind of lead up to what I want to talk to you about tonight. It goes along, actually, most people believe that it does. Psalm, 1 Samuel 19, verse 10, the Bible says, "And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with a javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence. And he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain." And then in Psalm 59, verse 1, David wrote this, and he said, "Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God, defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity, and save me from the bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold. Thou, therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors, Selah. They returned at evening. They made a make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear? But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee. For God is my defense. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God, let me see my desire upon my enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for a cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath, consume them that they may not be, and let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth, Selah. And at evening let them return, and let them make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat and grudge, if they be not satisfied. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy." Heavenly Father, thank you again for our fellowship time, our singing, Lord. Being able to be here, Lord, to worship you. Lord, you're honored by our presence tonight. I know you have taken note of this. And Lord, now I pray that your word go forth. Use me to preach with conviction power. Lord, pray that I can be out of the way, but you can be seen. Lord, we'll put a whole service into your hands. Help us to be thankful people. Lord, help us to love each other more. Love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Not Forsaken is the title of the message. I read there in 1 Samuel 19, 10, and then I read over to Psalm 59. And some Bible scholars have disagreed on the dates for the 59th Psalm and where what it attributes to. Some say it was during the time of Isaiah, and the reference to the enemies is the Syrian army. Some say during the time of Nehemiah, and the enemies are Sanballat and Tobiah. But both the Hebrew text and the Greek version of the Old Testament give to it the same title, which appears in the King James Bible at the head of this verse, that David prayed to be delivered from his enemies when Saul sent and they watched the house to kill him. So that seems to be where this may apply. And we think about this time when Saul in David's life, and David had been a young shepherd boy, been preaching along those lines of looking at that a while back. We're even looking at some of that on Wednesday night. He had went out to, he had already been anointed to be king by Samuel. He went up to the battle to see how it was going with Goliath, slew Goliath. Saul took note, and Saul took David into his to the king's court. Boy, what a job, I guess you could call it a job. What a place to be in the king's court, at the king's confidence. I mean, things have been going well, but when we think about what happened when David went out to battle and Saul went out, and the people started singing about Saul killing his thousands and David killing his 10,000s. Boy, Saul got an evil eye towards David. He began to watch him. I believe the Bible words it somewhat that way, that he began to watch David, or to eye David from that day forward. And, you know, and I think that this was the beginning when Saul sought to kill him. It was a beginning of a dark period in David's life. But listen, all dark periods aren't fruitless periods. There was a dark period in his life. It was, he had to get on the run. It was for his life. 10 years, I believe, Saul chased after David for 10 years. And it was a dark period in David's life. But at the same time, it played a great part in the development of David's character that he was going to need when he became, you know, a king of Israel, when he was on the throne, Judah. And so there's 3 points that I want to talk to you about tonight to help us when we go through difficult times. I said this morning, Teresa had mentioned there when Damien was about to speak, you know, how many of you need encouragement? I said, well, I was thinking to myself, if you're watching the evening news, you need encouragement. And we look around what's going on. But I keep telling myself this one thing. We even had a line in our play. You know what? God's got it. God's got the whole thing. It's all going to be taken care of. I'm not saying you don't have to be concerned, but you don't have to worry yourself to death. And but without that, even say if things were going well on nationally, politically, you know, economically for the nation, there's still some times in our life when we go through some dark times. It could be a different thing, of different kinds of things. You know, it seems like the first point that I want to talk to you about is gathering clouds. It seems like a time in David's life when these dark clouds were starting to gather, man. Things weren't looking good when he had to get on the run. I mean, you got the king out for your life, you know, it's getting to be a dismal time, and things kind of spiraled downward from there. You know, he got on the run, was living in caves. I mean, almost got captured a couple of times. Saul almost got him there. Of course, God's hand was on everything, according to that. And so, you know, when we start thinking about that, you know, when Saul, a little side lesson for you, what happened with Saul was it started with jealousy. He started to eye David with jealousy. Just think how different things would have been when that rose up in Saul's heart if he had gone to God in prayer and started praying about this thing and said, Lord, you know, I feel this jealousy towards this young man. He hasn't done anything wrong. He's fighting your battles. He's fighting for our nation. I mean, he's actually helping out my kingdom, my administration. He's helping out. Just think if Saul had said, you know what, God, I don't want to feel jealousy, and he took it to the Lord in prayer, boy, things would have turned out a whole lot different than they did. But he didn't do that. We know Saul wasn't a godly man that he should have been. It was just a front that he had put up. And so he didn't do it. Just jealousy came up. And this jealousy kind of began to eat at him. And the next thing you know, nothing but murder, nothing but the death of David was going to satisfy Saul's mind. And I mean, that's how we wonder sometimes. I've said that there's not a sin that we read about in the paper. We see some pretty bad sins in the world we're living in today, and we think, boy, I could never do that. I could never commit that sin. Let me tell you, it's within you. You're capable of it. If you spiral down far enough, you might not be able to do some of them tomorrow, but I'm going to tell you what, if you start on a downward trail long enough, maybe I talked about this Wednesday night, if you start going down far enough, you can commit every sin because it's in the nature of man. We have that sin nature, that, and if God doesn't intervene or we don't cry out to God, even as Christians, we can get that way. The Bible tells us that hate is the same thing as murder. And I'm going to tell you what, if you got hate in your heart right now about anybody, I'm going to tell you what, it's the same as murder. That's what God said, not me, but that's what God said. And so if their hate is existing, man, there's something that's eating at you, something that's getting at you, that's causing that hate. And I'm going to tell you what, you better take it to the Lord in prayer, because as we're going to find out, Saul was ending up fighting against the will of God. And I'm going to tell you what, when you fight against the will of God, you're going to lose that fight, number one. And I'm going to tell you what, it may be the end for you as well as what happened to Saul. We know what happened to him, and he lost his life in battle. And so David, of course, because of this, David ended up separated from his home, and there was this pressure. There was this outward pressure that was put on by Saul. He was threatening his life. He sent spies to his house to watch for him. And then we know that a 10-year period, he chased him all over the countryside. He was running. And David said this. He said, listen, I'm going to tell you what, sometimes there's things that happen in our life that's our fault, but it wasn't David's fault. He said, listen, this is not, I haven't done anything wrong. I've fought the battles that Saul sent me out to fight. I won. He was just thinking this. We know he won the battles. And he's saying, so listen, it's not my fault. And I'm going to tell you what, sometimes in life, have you ever felt pressure like there's something like, there seem like these clouds gathering, and you know, it's like nothing you've done. There's nothing you've done wrong. You haven't done a thing about it. I remember when I was working at Connex, Jesse, we talked about him this morning, was working there. And I just worked hard. It helped my day go by fast. I wasn't trying to show anybody up. I wasn't trying to make anybody look bad. A lot of those guys, they didn't want to work. They'd go sit in the bathroom, sit on the pot for 45 minutes till their legs fell asleep because they didn't want to work. And they'd drag around. They'd get there late, do nothing. 45 minutes before the end of work, they were already standing at the time clock ready to punch out. I would have fired some of them guys right on the spot. I mean, they just didn't want to do nothing. They could have done more than they did. And it just got to be like where, you know, there was these people that didn't like me. And then they brought in a new guy to oversee the whole thing. And I got this word came to me. I don't know why. I'd never had a conversation with the guy. Every time he saw me, I was working. They said, yeah, man, he don't like you. He don't like you, man. I think you're going to get bagged. I heard this through the grapevine. Man, they're going to get bagged. I started worrying about that. Man, I was a husband and a father and I had kids. And, man, I'm thinking, man, I don't want to lose my job. Actually, I like my job. I didn't want to lose my job. I started thinking about it. And they said, you know, and I'd see the guy. Like I said, I'd never talked to him. And I started fretting about that. I started worrying about it. And I remember one time I turned in my Bible. I turned to the 27th Psalm, I think it is. The 27th Psalm talks about God lifting my head up, or his David was lifting up his head above his enemies, man, round about. And I started I looked at that verse one day, and I'm going to tell you what, man, I felt so good about that. Let me see. I didn't have this planned out, but let me look back here and see what that says. Let's just see what it says. I'm going from memory, so you know what I'm saying. Psalm 27, let's see what it said there. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Man, I'll tell you what, I read that right there one morning sitting in my kitchen in my other house when we lived over on Cedar Bluff. And man, I felt good. And all of a sudden, everything changed. I went to work, man. That guy came out, this new manager, he came out and talked to me one day. And man, we got to talking. He said, you know, I hear you pastoring the church. He said, I'm going to tell you what, man, you're doing. That's a good thing you're doing right here. And everything was fine. Nothing ever happened to me, man. My foreman walked out. They were going to move the whole company down to South Carolina. They weren't going to take the welders with them. They had a big meeting. They told us one day. And my foreman, and some of you have been here a long time, when we were still on the other side, Terry Nolan was his name. He ended up dying. He had something wrong with his heart. Terry was my foreman. He come up to me. He said, listen, we're going to have a layoff, but I'm going to tell you what, we'll keep you. I'm going to keep you. You'll be the last person. You'll be here to the day I leave. He said, if you want to be. But it worked out. The church, that was when the church said, hey, we can take you on full time. You don't have to work a job anymore. And I went, so I told Terry, I said, look, man, this other fella that worked near me, Dave Simmons, he lived up here at Eagle Rock. I said, he doesn't have another thing to do yet. You keep him. And I said, the church said they'll take me on full time and let me go. I'll just go ahead and go on the first layoff. He said, you sure? I said, yes, sir, I'm sure. And I went on out there, man. So see, God takes care of us. So we understand that, listen, there's sometimes though we get pressure. Like in the ministry, I'm going to tell you what, if you're going to be a Sunday school teacher, if you're going to work in the nursery, I don't care what you're going to do, if you're going to lead a play, whatever you do in the ministry, I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be the pressure of criticism. There's going to be the pressure of financial problems. There's going to be the pressure of 1,000 details that we have to take care of. You know, what about this? When you're a pastor, man, I'm telling you, sometimes it's pastor, hey, pastor, hey, pastor. It's like you mothers, man. You know, you mothers that got the kids. Hey, mom. Mom, 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 me, mom, me, mom, me, mom, me, mom, man. I'm going to tell you what, if I hear that, sometimes I hear it in my sleep, man. Me, mom, me, mom, me, mom, me, mom, man, crying out loud. It's like the pressure of 1,000 things that go on. And then, you know, in life also, there's sorrows that come along. Listen, there's loss of loved ones. Loved ones pass away. Randy lost his grandmother. And, you know, and for your father, it's probably harder than for anybody when you lose your mother. There's the just hardships of life, sicknesses and things come up, disappointments. Things don't come always go the way we want. So sometimes we feel these pressures on the outside that just seem like a cloud, just gathering clouds. And it seemed like they always come at one time. It's never like stretched out. It's like this thing, that thing, good, like kind of like tonight, man. We couldn't get the song straight. We couldn't get the song off. We couldn't get talking. We couldn't do anything. We finally got going. And so we've all felt that at one point or another. And, you know, even, and I'm going to tell you what, boy, we need to pray more then than at any other time, man. This is what we had to do. And we see David. This is what he did. He took it to the Lord in prayer. We knew David wouldn't kill Saul. David said, I'm not going to lift my hand against God's anointed. I'm not going to do it. And so he ran. He fled, but he prayed. He took it to God and said, look, God, this is what we need to do. And so I would look at his reaction here along the way. There's some other things that we can do besides prayer. I believe if you don't feel pressure sometimes from the outside, if you haven't, you will. And if you are, you probably still will. And it could get worse. It could get better. But we'll look at some things. Point number two, this is a good way, this is going to help us along the way, so we understand it's going to happen, is we see a growing confidence. It was gathering clouds, but when we see David in his psalm, we see a growing confidence. He starts off and he says, deliver me from mine enemies, oh my God. See, I like that. What's your problem? He didn't beat around the bush. He said, deliver me from my enemies, that's my problem. Huh? He and him all around. Just what do you want? When you talk to God, tell God what you need. What you know, what you want. He said, "Listen, deliver me from my enemy." He prays himself out of a sense of helplessness. This is it right here. See, we're not helpless. We're not helpless, huh? I mean, we may feel like we are. I think sometimes, listen, God's got to get you to the helpless place, so that you know you can't do it, and you know Dr. So-and-so can't do it. And you know that nobody else can do it but him. So he gets you to that place. He's got a reason for this. Listen, David had been anointed to be king. I keep thinking about this. All David had to do, he keep looking back. Well, I've been anointed to be king. I've got to be the king. God, you know, he was anointed by Samuel himself. God had told him to do it. He had to. There's no way he was going to die. But he's a human. See, he got discouraged as well. There's been times in my life, honestly, man, you know what? Devil said, man, what are you doing preaching? You can't. You're not a preacher. Look at you. Look at you, man. You're not. You shouldn't be. What are you doing preaching, man? You're not. I mean, honestly, an empty feeling like, what am I doing? Maybe I should just. But I can just sit back and think. And I remember a day when there was the call from God. I remember the guy said, listen, man, this is the direction. I'm taking this away from you because I'm putting you here. I remember just playing. And in my life, I look back, that's what God did. And I said, all right, God. And sometimes I say, there's so many problems. And somebody said, well, God, you called me, you put me here. It's your church. You got a problem. You got a problem, man. Cast all your cares upon him. That's what you do. So he's a growing confidence there. He prays himself out of the sense of helplessness. Well, I prayed and I didn't get. Well, keep on praying. Keep on praying until you get out of the sense of helplessness. And then there comes confidence. And guess what that results in? Praise. See, this is what happened. You can pray yourself out and you can praise your way out. Listen, anybody can praise God when everything's going good. Is there ever a time when everything's going good? I'm just curious. Huh? You can pray and praise yourself out. But everybody can do that if things are going good. How about praising when it's not going good? Listen, when David was praising right here in the psalm, and you see the praise verses in there, the circumstances had not changed. The enemy was still out there. He didn't wait till the end of it. Oh, hey, praise God. Well, I can praise God because everything came out fine. Everything hadn't come out fine. Everything was exactly the same. The outward circumstances were still the same. But he prayed, and he had confidence, and now he said, I know God's going to do it. He gave praise. Just the illustration I gave you with my deal. When I read that verse that day, it was like the sunlight was shining through the window. Man, my heart was lifted up. Guess what? As far as I knew, nothing had changed back at work. Nothing had changed, but it did. It did change. So there's a confidence which results in praise. David's attitude changed. You know, an attitude change. How many of you ever said to your own self, man, I need an attitude change, huh? Sometimes you might not say it to yourself, and somebody else might be thinking they're going to give you an attitude change. Huh? Have you ever had to change somebody's attitude? Right? I remember one time I worked at a concrete company when I first got out of the Navy. A little while after I got out of the Navy, I worked at this concrete company, and the truck drivers all had radios. I had a welding truck, and I had a radio and everything, too, so you'd always hear the chatter on the radio. Well, there was a big ruckus that happened on the job site. One of the truck drivers had took a shovel and smashed this guy on the job site in the head with it. And so they got on the radio, and the boss got on there and called the truck driver on the radio. He said, "What happened down there?" He said, "Well," he said, the truck driver said, "Well, this man come up and said he was going to kick my backside." Not exactly how he said it, but he said, "He's going to kick my backside," and I had to correct him. He said, "I corrected him, you know, with a shovel upside his head, I guess." And I mean, everybody, you can hear people laughing. They key in the mic, they laughed their head off. Sometimes we had to have an attitude change. And so David's attitude changed because he had confidence that God was in control. But he had to, you know, sometimes you just got to pray yourself to that point. You have to praise yourself for that point. I mean, if you can praise God in the midst, listen, if we can't praise God in the midst before the circumstances change, I doubt we will ever be praising God. Right? I mean, that's when to praise God ahead of time. He knew that he was innocent, as I said. He knew the call of God was upon his life. He knew that Saul was fighting against God. Think about that. He knew that Saul was fighting against God. He knew the pressure was coming from an enemy who was actually doing battle against the will of God. Now think about this. If you ever put pressure on somebody else that's doing the will of God, you are fighting against God. Huh? We can be guilty of doing that same thing. Huh? Fighting against God. And so, you know what? We gotta realize the way things are going. And David could think about this for a minute, and knowing that he was anointed by God, knowing that he was called by God, knowing that Saul was fighting. Saul really knew it. He knew that God, he had already been told. He had already been told that, listen, the kingdom's going to be taken away from you. He already knew that. So he was trying to fight God. Boy, that's a miserable person right there. Not just Saul. I'm talking about anybody. I mean, anybody that is fighting the will of God, your life is miserable. You may say, no, it's not. You keep checking. It's miserable. You keep checking. It's miserable. Whenever there's pressure or a gathering of clouds for which you know you're not responsible, you are in that position because God puts you there. Because even if there's an enemy coming against us in the will of God, and the enemy will come against us in the will of God, God's allowing it because he can stop it just like that. He's allowing it, and he's got a purpose. You study the life of David, just sum it up briefly. Everything that David went through prepared him, his character, for when he would be on the throne, all those years that he would be on the throne. And you also can know this, that you can lay hold of all the power that God has to see you through. Listen, in our day, we got the Holy Spirit of God. Let me ask you something. How much of the Spirit of God does God give us? How much power? Does he just mete out the power, like an eighth of the power or a quarter? We have all the power of God dwelling in us. I asked the question Wednesday night, hypothetical question. It's not what the probability is. I talked to Chili about it. It's not the probability, but the possibility that we could live a life without sin. The possibility does exist because God lives in us, and the Bible says that greater in us is he, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I get it straight. And so God is dwelling in us. Now, the possibility, I know we're in the sanctification process, but if there's any sanctification that's taking place in our life now, it happened because of the power of God, right? So now all of a sudden God didn't run up against some sin or some problem that was too great for his power, right? And so I know, and now in total sanctification, when the sanctification process is over with, there's going to be this one thing that's going to take place when we get to heaven, and that is we will no longer have a sinful nature that we have to fight against. We won't have that. But I'm just saying there is the possibility right now that if God is dwelling in us and all things are possible. Now, it's not probable because we still listen to the flesh. We still will. Nobody's done it yet. I'm just saying, I'm just giving the hypothetical possibility if God is dwelling in us. There's a hypothetical possibility. I said, could you go a day? I think Harold said this prayer, man. Could you go a day without sinning, any actual sin? I'm talking about stuff that pops in your mind. My pastor used to say this. Look, something can pop in your mind, but you don't have to let it stay there. Let it pop out. But I'm talking about, could you go a day without doing any sin? Sure. Yeah, you can go a day. What about 2 days? If you can go one day, you can go 2 days, you can go all day. That's it. Now, all you got to do is keep following God. But anyway, that's just a little food for thought. Put that on there. But listen, realize that whenever pressure's gathering, God has put us in that place. And then also beware yourself. Beware you're not putting pressure upon a servant of God. Beware you're not fighting against God as Saul was. David prayed himself out of his panic or out of his fear, if he had any fear, into confidence and praise. Nothing external had changed, but internal, his attitude. The attitude for David changed. And sometimes, you know what? That's all we need. All we need is an attitude change. You look at that glass and say, boy, that glass is half empty, man. Or, man, that glass is half full, right? How do you look at it? I used to use this illustration, Chili, you like the sports illustration. You know, your team, say you're watching a baseball game. Are you watching a baseball game and your team's up 9-0? And then all of a sudden, boy, boom, 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 the other team come back and boy, it's just 9-8 now. Your attitude is totally different. But say you hadn't been watching the game and you just turn it on and your team's up 9-8. Hey, my team's up 9-8. The score's the same. What you know is a little bit different, but it changes how you look at things. Because you see the tide is swinging when you watch the whole thing. And you say, wow, my team, I'm up 9-8. I'm, you know, kind of hoping my team's still up more than 9-8. But anyway. but here's the thing. It's just we can, you know, it's how we look at things. If your attitude, you can look at the same thing, depending on where your attitude's at, and it will look so different to you. You can be something to be happy about, something to praise about, you know, something like that. So this is what happened to David. Look what David said in verse 9. Here's his attitude right here. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. See, he talked about here, deliver me from my enemies. He said that. As far as he knows, God hadn't done it yet. But then he gets down there to verse 9. Because of his strength will I wait on thee, for God is my defense. That's it. I will wait upon thee, waiteth for thee. See, a lot of times we pray, but we don't wait. We ask, but we don't expect. We don't expect it to happen. Somebody was telling me the other night, I think Wednesday night, saying, boy, you know, I do this, I pray to God, I talk to God, I tell God all these things. And I said, well, let me remember this. Always remember to listen to God, too. Listen to what he says, because it's not always what we say. Sometimes pressure we feel is because our hands are too full of other things to receive all the blessing that God has for us. We're holding on to so much of the world. You ever gone in? Huh, Danielle, man, what'd you drop? I told her, I said, give me some honey down there at the thing where she worked at. She got a big old bag of stuff in there. And it was last winter. And she's trying to carry everything in at once. How many of us done this? Instead of making two trips, we're going to tear everything. And there goes the honey jar over on there. Glass broke on the floor. And she said, you know, honey, when it's real cold, it's hard to get up off the garage floor. Huh? What a mess. I mean, that's what happens to us. So what happens? We got so many things in our arms sometimes. We're trying to carry everything in. Now we're under pressure and distress because we got this iron, that iron. We got this and that. And we're trying to hold on. We're trying to get God in there too. Sometimes the pressure we feel is because we're holding on to too much. We can't get the full blessing of God. We can't get the full running here, running in, running out, run to church and get to the service and run out of here and do something. I mean, we can't get the full blessing of God if we're doing that. And so, Listen to this. I got a little star. This means important. The help of God doesn't come to us when we are indifferent. It comes to the one who is depending on God in the midst of the battle. Man, I mean, that's when the blessing comes. Not when we're indifferent towards the things of God. It comes to the one who watches and waits in faith. That's where the blessing comes from. We just know. You know, God takes care of it. Boy, and then you know what? We're so surprised. Oh, wow, God took care of it. You know, like I knew all along. Really? Yeah, you say you did. You didn't know. It comes to the one who rests on the promises of the Word of God. It comes to the one who believes, listen to me, before he asks that God will answer. He believes ahead of time before he even prays. God's going to take care of it. Believing ahead of time. Boy, that's it. So we got a gathering clouds, a growing confidence, and then we see a genuine conviction. In verse 16 of Psalm 59, Psalm, but I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Right there. Boy, listen, he's gone beyond being calm. He's gone beyond resting. Man, he's just up to joyful praise now. I mean, boy, you know what? You don't praise when you worry. I've used this illustration about, I'll hear Sherry sometime, and if she's all stressed out and worried about, you know, she'd just be in there doing the dishes, puttering around. But boy, when I hear her in there singing, I can hear her in there whistling and humming a little bit. She's humming a tune, and, you know, her heart is light. You know what? She's not worrying right at that moment. Anyway, I might go in there and mess that up in about 10 seconds. But see, you know what? That's just normal, right? When somebody's at prayer and or praising and singing and feeling joyful, man, this is it. He's beyond calmness. He's beyond resting in the confidence of God, but he is in a joyful praising the Lord, and the enemy's all still around him. The enemy hadn't gone anywhere. Huh? Man, I'm telling you what, that's where it's at. As I said, anybody can praise God after the fact. True faith praises God in the storm. Huh? In the storm, man, he knows it. Boy, them three Hebrew children, they always come to my mind. I love that story. Man threw them in the fiery furnace. They just walking around in the middle of the fire. Most of us, boy, when them cords burned off, we'd have run out of there screaming bloody murder, man. But no, they walking around. Old Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and said, man, I see a fourth one in there. Like the Son of God walking around in there with them. And they were walking around. They say, look, we're not even getting singed. Our hair's not burned. We don't smell like smoke. Ain't nothing but the cords burned off. Praising God. I mean, man, right there in the midst of the fire. Right in the midst of the fire. And so, boy, listen, that's it. The God of my mercy, David went on to say that. Huh? The God, he called him the Lord, the Lord of his strength. He called him his fortress. He called him his mercy. And I'm going to tell you what he meant it too. I mean, that's all we got to do. Listen, if you know you're a child of God, if you know you're a child of God, then all we have to do, listen, is just we can praise him. If we know we're in God's will, I say this all the time. A lot of times we're not sure if we're in God's will because we're not doing God's will. So therefore we're not sure whether we're being chastened by God himself or whether it's coming from the enemy. But man, when you know that you're not at fault, when you know you're in God's will, and listen, there's gathering clouds and all those things around and pressure from the outside, listen, man, we can have a growing confidence. We can pray to God. We can praise God. We should pray to God and praise God. And listen, man, I mean, we can rest assured that God has put, if we're in something, God put us there. God's allowed. He's got something for us, a lesson for us somehow. And, you know, and he knows, listen, he knows when to say enough. He knows when to stay his hand. He knows what we can take. Sometimes we think it's not, we can't take any more. But listen, we can if God says we can. And so, listen, if you're saved, his spirit lives within you, lives within us. And listen, you are protected. You know, we've got all the things. We're protected all around from our enemies till God says anything different. I mean, man, that's it. We got God. I mean, there's no enemy greater than him. Boy, we can rest confidence in that. We don't have to face the pressure of the enemy in our own strength. We don't have to face that. Will there still be pressure? Sure. Huh? Will there still be, is Satan going to be his enemy? And he's going to be an enemy of God's people till the Lord takes care of him. That's just the way it is. As I said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. All right, let's stand with our heads bowed. So, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. I pray this encourage everyone. I know it encourages me, Lord. And, Lord, we know, as I just said, Lord, we know we're going to have pressure. We know we have enemy round about, boy. But I say, help us to remember this and keep focus on this, Lord. We know we've got the victory. That's all we need. And we can sing about that. We can praise about that. We can thank God, boy, that we don't have to go through this alone. And so I pray for us tonight that everyone here's heart will be encouraged, asking in Jesus' name. Amen.